Well, Razorback basketball took on Troy last night, was able to get the win, but my, oh my, Ricky Council the fourth, the type of performance he put on, got to see Nick Smith for the very first time in a Razorback uniform on the court in the regular season. Also going to dive into the latest portal news, also a very important Razorback football player entering into the NFL draft, and Hugh Freeze is back in the SEC. It's all coming up on today's Locked On Razorbacks podcast.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome into the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. I am your host, John Neighbors. I am also the host of Out of Bounds. You can catch every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4 on 103.7 The Buzz and 103.7thebuzz.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. It is a gift from the heart and a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com and use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to get an extra $30 off your order. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Tuesday, as it is really dark outside. It's been raining and storming, so that's why it kind of looks like I'm in the dark here. Which is so funny. Like, one of these days, I'm going to get me like a nice little like studio where my apartment that I stay in here in Little Rock has windows out the wazoo. I've never been in a place that has more windows. So I'm really just kind of at the mercy of whatever the outside natural lighting looks like. So it's just funny how it always changes, it seems like, every single day. But either way, also, I'm getting to the point to where I'm trying to make sure my voice does not start going by the wayside either, as the weather is changing, the crap starts coming in, the junk starts coming in. So having to take plenty of sips of water, do all that, and makes it tough when you have to use your voice every day for a few hours to do your job. But either way, bear with me on that. If you hear me take a swig, don't worry. It's just peach flavored Propel. It's nothing else. But lots of things to talk about, though, today here on the podcast. And I want to start with Razorback basketball last night, because I know, listen, everybody's excited about Razorback basketball right now. In fact, I thought it was so awesome that I've been doing the YouTube side of things here on the podcast for nearly a year now. And of course, it's grown and it's been awesome. And I love being on YouTube and having that video aspect of it, because a lot of you do as well. But my most watched video ever since starting this podcast on YouTube happened last week, talking about Razorback basketball. So to say that Razorback basketball fans are pumped about this team is an understatement, to say the least. But last night, Arkansas was able to play Troy, and they won 74-61. Now, this game was a battle. Arkansas, for the most part, did not lead in this game. In fact, Troy was actually taking care of business for the majority of the game going into the second half. And I got to give a lot of credit to Troy. Troy's a feisty team. They're a salty team. I know that they're a team that nobody really mentions or really talks about, but after watching them and seeing how effective they are from three-point land, especially, and how they're pretty fundamentally sound, they're a well-coached team. So got to give a lot of credit where it's due. So they were a feisty team, but Arkansas was able to pull away in the end, ended up going on a 17-0 run to close out shop and end up getting the victory by 13 points. And there's a few things that we'll dive into when it comes to some notes, but I don't think you can even talk about this game without bringing up, once again, Ricky Council the fourth. Goodness gracious, this kid. Now, I know that, just a real quick plug, he's actually going to start joining me on my radio show on Out of Bounds on 103.7 The Buzz every week starting next week. So I'm really excited about that. But honestly, I never would have dreamed when I looked at this team and this roster before the season started that, without a doubt, the most consistent, best player on this team, which I'm not saying that is a slight against anybody else, but as far as consistency goes, that Ricky Council the fourth would be that guy. You know, we haven't seen much of Nick Smith. We'll talk about him in a second. Anthony Black has been really good as well. He's been very good for Arkansas, and we've seen guys like Trevin Brazil be able to bring it a little bit too here and there. But consistency is key, and Ricky Council has it. Last night, my goodness gracious, 27 points for this man. Goes 12 of 18 from the field, is able to get 3 rebounds as well as a steal, only has 2 turnovers. Now, you know, so he's not going to be pumping up the stat sheet as much as maybe some of the other guys do, but 27 points out of this guy. And once again, I wish I could show it if it wasn't for copyright, but the dunk that he had last night where he just tomahawks that sucker and just, wah! I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I tweeted out last night that there is, just in my lifetime, because I know some of you of the older generation are going to start yelling at me because, you didn't know this guy. Well, in my lifetime, the best dunkers I've ever seen at Arkansas have been Derek Hood, Brandon Dean, and Michael Qualls. Gafford was in there too. But the thing about Gafford that I always looked at is just he was so big and long, you know, that really helped him out. But Qualls and Brandon Dean to me were always the best ones because they didn't have extreme height. I think Qualls was like 6'5", Brandon Dean was like 6'1". So I think that that's always given like an extra boost of ability whenever you're on the smaller side and able to dunk. And that's what Ricky Council is able to do. And he might be the best dunker I've seen in a Razorback uniform. He might be better than Qualls and better than Brandon Dean. We'll see. We'll see. A lot of season left, but he's just incredible and had an awesome dunk last night where he is just continuing to show that consistency. And he's a very high energy guy. He plays really good defense too. He's the all around player that you would want. And I just look at it, I was like, how did Wichita State let this guy get away? My goodness. I know that transfers happen, but the fact that Arkansas has able to get two transfers this year and Ricky Council and also Trevin Brazil, those two guys alone, the fact that those teams that they came from, Wichita State and Missouri respectively, have to be just kicking themselves for letting these guys go. I think these might be, like we talk about transfers with Muss. I felt like always that Justin Smith was the best transfer that Arkansas was able to get under Muss. And there's been a lot of good ones. I'm not saying there hasn't been. I thought Justin Smith, though, was the best one. I think Ricky Council has overtaken that. I think Ricky Council is the best transfer player that Muss has gotten since he's been at Arkansas. And Trevin Brazil, I know that sometimes he has incredible games and sometimes not so much, so a little inconsistent there. But he has the ability to have an incredible game too, so he's right there in the mix. But the fact is that you have a player that has a great ability to get to the basket. He's a great dunker, as we know. He's solid from the free throw. His three-point shooting is fine. It's not great, but it's fine. He's got really good defense. He's got a high motor. He's very intelligent when it comes to the way that he plays the game. And honestly, he doesn't turn it over very often. So he's got kind of the whole package there. And other guys have struggled. Like Arkansas had 15 turnovers last night, which is way too many. Trevin Brazil, he did not have a great game. He had 5 turnovers in the match. He played 25 minutes. 5 turnovers, did have an assist and 2 steals, so that was nice. But Council was definitely the dude, and it's so much fun to watch him. It's so much fun to see how he plays and the way he brings it each and every game. Other guys, though, of note, like Anthony Black had a nice game. He had 14 points, 8 rebounds, man. And when you're 6'7", you can do so much. He had 3 assists, also 2 steals and a block. So he played every second of this game, too. Anthony Black did all 40 minutes. So really good performance out of him. Makai Mitchell came in. You know, he's one of those guys that you just either starts really good or you just don't hear from him again. But he had 14 points and 9 rebounds, almost got a double-double. And he also had 3 blocks to go along with it, too. So really good performance out of him. You had Kamani Johnson come in for 33 minutes. He played a lot, but he had 8 points as well as 3 rebounds and a steal and a block. He was able to take care of business there. So overall, it was a really good game, especially there in the end, because it was really Ricky Council's the one that took over. He was the one that was able to bring it to that next level, too. Now, we got to talk about Nick Smith Jr., though, because Nick Smith Jr. finally made his debut as a Razorback in the regular season, I should say. We've got the chance to see him during the preseason exhibition games and whatnot, especially when they went over to Spain and hung out there. But as far as regular season goes, we got to see Nick Smith. He is on minutes restriction. He only played 6 minutes last night. He went 0-2 from the field, 0-1. He did have 1 rebound, and that was it. So it was highly anticipated of him coming in. And I love the fact that he was able to get a great standing ovation by Razorback fans, which was such a cool thing. And him thanking the Razorback fans on Twitter afterwards. He's wanting to play. He really is. And he's got a kind of the knee thing, and I know that Coach Muss said after the game that they have him on those men's restrictions. We'll see how it goes, how it plays out, and they're going to kind of relate to what the trainer says and the health professionals say for him. But you cannot watch last night's game of Nick Smith and say, oh, well, you know, that, that's what he's going to give us. No, 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 no. Just wait. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some energy. It's going to take some moves to get there at some particular point, because we know that there's still a lot of things that he has to do to get acclimated, which I'm telling you, that's a lot more difficult than people realize. It's not to say that Nick Smith is going to take him, you know, 18 games to get back to normal, but it's going to take a little bit. But here's the good thing about it for Arkansas. They got San Jose State playing this Saturday in Bud Walton, and we'll see how that plays out. We got the next Tuesday, you got UNC Greensboro. So you have those two games at home. Then you have the Crimson and Cardinal Classic, the game against Oklahoma and Tulsa, which hopefully Razorback fans remember that one. And hopefully Arkansas remembers that from last year, where Oklahoma smoked Arkansas, Musk got ejected. I think they're going to want to come out and really perform well in that game, and I hope they do. So they have that one. Then they have Bradley back in North Little Rock on Saturday, December 17th. Let's hope that goes better than the Hofstra game last year. And then you have UNC Asheville, Bud Walton Arena on Wednesday, December 21st, before you get into SEC play, where your first game is on the road against LSU on December 28th. So you're talking about, from this point on, you got five non-conference games before you get into conference play by going on the road against a very interesting LSU team. So we'll see how Nick Smith does in these next games. Does he only get 6 minutes against San Jose State? Is he able to get, you know, more and more as time goes on? We'll see. But that's the fortunate thing for Arkansas, is they do have some time. They do have some ability to have some games go on first and try to get Nick Smith in there and involved as much as possible for him to be able to build up that chemistry and be able to be that teammate that I know he's wanting to be. And man, if he can get going and if he gets back to 100%, he's going to play a lot of minutes. And you're talking about Arkansas's depth being, it's already great, but being really crazy, especially they need some offensive firepower. Not to say that Arkansas's offense is terrible, because it's not terrible, but they certainly need some help along the way. They need some guys that can be a little bit more consistent. Ricky Council for sure has been, and Anthony Black has been able to bring it sometimes too. But Brazil, like, he had 3 points, but he could go for 25. Needs some more consistency. You know, Makai Mitchell had 14, but he could also have zero. Jordan Walsh had 6 points last night, but you know where's he at in his regard? So there just needs they need somebody else to come in there and be a little bit more consistent offensively. And I think Nick Smith is going to be that guy. And finally, I know we went a little long here, but to address the thing with Devo Davis, a lot of people were asking about this. Now, this was quite the thing that happened yesterday, where it was officially announced from Eric Musselman before the game that Devo Davis is taking some time away from basketball, and he has our full support during this time. We don't really know what is going on with Devo, nor does it really matter what's going on with Devo, to be honest. He's taking some personal time, and he's apparently just, you know, spending some time with family and whatnot. So we don't know. We don't know what's going on, but Musk says that our thoughts are with him during this time, and hopefully we get to see Devo back. Hopefully it's this Saturday. I know that Devo, he's kind of that player that you love him sometimes and you hate him sometimes. He frustrates you sometimes, but yet you just want to praise him. He's kind of that up and down player, but he has high energy. He's got a lot of experience, and he's going to be really helpful for this Razorback basketball team with that experience. So you definitely need him back, but it's certainly one of those things that you just got to respect the privacy at the time for Devo Davis. So we'll see how all that plays out. Folks, I got to tell you about Omaha Steaks. Listen, how was the gift of Omaha Steaks received when you sent it to a family or friend, whatever it was, last year? Because when we had Omaha Steaks, I can't tell you how many people reached out to me and said, thank you for that promo code for Omaha Steaks, because we love steaks. Listen, we're American. We love steaks. We love the holiday season, giving gifts. And who doesn't love getting a great Omaha Steak? Let's be honest. The quality, the convenience, everything you need to deliver an unforgettable holiday experience. Omaha Steaks is America's original butcher since 1917, and a holiday gift that's guaranteed to be loved. So with the holidays being here, achieve gifting greatness when you give the gift of perfectly aged, tender, and delicious Omaha Steaks. The steak expert at Omaha Steaks have put together a special curated gift packages to help take the guesswork out of gifting and make you the holiday hero. So go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, at checkout to get $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away. So shop early and beat the rush. Go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout, and I promise you folks, you will not be disappointed. You're talking about $30 off. It's a gift from the heart, a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're going to be ordering the very best. So visit omahasteaks.com, use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order with Omaha Steaks.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so moving on into the Locked On Razorbacks podcast, new part of the show going on with football is portal season. It's been crazy the past couple of years of witnessing the portal and how wild it is for everybody, not just for Arkansas, but for everybody. And we had some moves get made yesterday since the recording of yesterday's podcast, to where this is how it's going to be probably this week, especially folks, where every day we're just going to have a new update on somebody leaving or somebody going, either whether it's to the portal or going to the NFL or quitting football, whatever it may be. There's going to be updates on that each and every week, so we'll try to keep you updated on it as much as possible. But yesterday, there were a few things that weren't very surprising when it came to the portal. For instance, backup quarterback Malik Hornsby announced that he will be entering into the transfer portal while he did this again for his second year. So he's no longer going to be at Arkansas. Also, Razorbacks tight end Aaron Outley announced he would enter into the portal with James Joyner. Mentioned last week he would be entering into the portal, as well as defensive back Corey Turner. He will be entering into the portal. So a few guys that are going in there. No one really big of note as far as starters go or anything like that. I know Slusher has been kind of the biggest loss to the portal for Arkansas thus far, but Malik Hornsby, it's not surprising. I wish Malik nothing but the best of luck. I really do. He had an interesting career here at Arkansas, and it's weird that he entered into the portal last year and then got back out of it, started playing Arkansas, but he had to agree to play some wide receiver, and he did, but then Arkansas didn't really have the best option there, quarterback, so then he came. I don't know. It was just a weird, weird deal. And so he was highly regarded, though, coming out of high school, but just couldn't get it. Had great athleticism, but his throwing ability, his decision-making just never really got to where it needed to be. And so he's going to be moving on. And that's, I hope he finds a place to where it fits him and where he can really flourish, because I think he's got a lot of athleticism and I think he has a lot of things that he can add to the quarterback position. So wish him nothing but the best of luck with him moving on, as well as all the players. Like Aaron Outley, I get it, man. Arkansas's got like 3-4-star tight ends coming in this next high school class. So Aaron Outley's like, you know what? I'm just going to try to find somewhere else to go to as well. But those are kind of the big names, or the names of note that people mentioned. But there is one particular player, though, that is moving on to the NFL, and that is wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood. Jaden Hazelwood was a highly, highly regarded player coming in. I mean, he was a 5-star player in high school. He was a guy that people thought would come in, and not saying he would replace Treylon Burks, but when you lost Treylon Burks, to have a player like that be able to come in and really help out and be able to be a huge impact, he was. Jaden Hazelwood was a really gifted wide receiver. Now, some people may not, you know, look at him as the way of, because, you know, that people were looking at Treylon Burks and thinking how great he was. But here's the thing. Like, Jaden Hazelwood had 59 catches this year for 702 yards and 3 touchdowns. So he had over 700 yards receiving for Arkansas this year. I mean, you can't really do a whole lot better than that or expected. I mean, if people are saying, how much did you expect out of him? If anybody told you or anybody said, oh, I'm expecting over 1,000 yards, I think that's a little bit unrealistic. But to get to 700 yards is pretty incredible. And so him and Landers, both two transfers that came in, had over 700 yards. Landers led the way with 780 yards on 44 catches and 7 touchdowns. But here's the thing. Even though Landers had 44 catches, Jaden Hazelwood led the team in receptions at 59 receptions. So Hazelwood was great. He was a great leader. He was a tough kid, man. Some of those plays and stiff arms he would have, he was a tough kid. And I really hate to see him go. I really do. I just thought that he was so much needed for what Arkansas had to have go on for them in that wide receiver room. And him going to the NFL is not necessarily a shock. It's not really surprising, but hopefully he ends up getting drafted. Hopefully he ends up having a great career. And I think it was really cool to see him give the response that he did. Because on Twitter, I'll just read it real quick and we can end it on that. He put out a graphic and just said love. And the quote was, I joined the University of Arkansas this year and has turned into one of the best decisions I have ever made. The amount of growth I've experienced here as both an athlete as a man have been tremendous. I am calling all hogs when I say thank you to my coaches, my teammates, and every fan who has made this season special. I also need to personally thank Coach Guyton, Coach Jimmy, and Coach Pittman for believing in me and giving me this opportunity. I wanted to say thank you to my family for their constant support for me and every decision I've made throughout my football career. I look forward to everyone's continued support as it's time for me to open up the next chapter in this story as I'm officially declaring for the 2023 NFL Draft. Thank you and woo pig with two O's. Woo pig. I love the message. I mean, the fact that he said that it was joining the U of A has been one of the best decisions he's ever made. It makes you feel good. It really does. As a Razorback fan and everything, it makes you feel good. So wish you nothing but the best of luck, Jaden. It was awesome to see you in a Razorback uniform, and I really hope that you ball out and just go nuts there in the NFL because you absolutely deserve it. So thank you for being on the Razorback football team this past year. Thank you for, because you could have gone anywhere. Like, you could have gone anywhere, but the fact you came to Arkansas was awesome. So appreciate that, and can't wait to see what you do in the next chapter of your football career. We will get into some funny, crazy news in the SEC and have some reactions to that, dealing with a new coaching hire on the other side of the break here on the Locked On Razorbacks podcast.
You are Locked On Razorbacks, your daily podcast on the Arkansas Razorbacks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so final segment of the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. So Hugh Freeze is back in the SEC. He was officially hired at Auburn. He is the new Auburn head coach, which the Lane Kiffin thing fell through. And hiring Hugh Freeze, I'll be honest about it. Like, for Auburn, that's a good hire. I mean, he has proven that he can win in the SEC. He has proven that he can beat Nick Saban in Alabama. He did it a few times at Ole Miss. But the only problem with him was that he was cheating to get all those big-time recruits at Auburn or at Ole Miss. Well, now with the NIL, you don't have to worry about cheating, Hugh. You can get those players by, I guess, legally, shadiness, gray area, whatever, but you can do it. So if he can just get some big-time recruits to go to Auburn, I don't see any reason why they can't be successful because, again, Hugh Freeze has proven it. But great hire for him, and I think that they should be excited. But here's kind of the funny thing about it all. So in his contract, check this out. In Hugh Freeze's contract, it's included a social media agreement. This is according to Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated. It says, multiple sources say Freeze has agreed to relinquish control of his social media accounts when he becomes the Auburn head coach. The background check on Freeze was extensive, and the school hired a PR consultant to handle the expected blowback and bringing him aboard. They are jumping through a lot of hoops to make sure that they hire Hugh Freeze. So apparently, it's because we all know about the skeletons in the closet of Hugh Freeze and how he would handle his social media accounts and the type of people that he would be DMing and saying certain things. It's quite wild and quite interesting. But it's pretty sad that when you're having to hire a major football coach at Auburn, like Hugh Freeze, that you have to say, all right, Hugh, we're excited for you to be our football coach. But here's the thing. We did some research, and your social media DMs and accounts are cesspools. It's bad. You have problems with that. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to give it to us, and you can still tweet, but we're going to monitor it. And we're going to make sure that there's no problems going on with anybody or anything at any particular time. We'll just make sure that we take care of that for you. How sad is that? You know how bad of a problem you have to have when you have to relinquish your social media accounts because you're doing so many shady things? Goodness gracious. And then you add into the mix of thinking about Auburn and hiring Hugh Freeze, knowing what he did, knowing the stuff that went on at Ole Miss, not only with the recruiting violations, all that, but also with the side pieces and the extra hustle he was doing outside of his marriage. There's just a lot of red flags that could pop up. But the weirdest thing about it is because Auburn reportedly was trying to find certain things on Brian Harsin to try to trap him into a situation where they could fire him for cause, alleging that he was having an affair with students or, you know, employees, whatever it was. They were trying to find some dirt on him and they couldn't. So I'm like, so Auburn hired a man that did do those things. Bad, like it was very evident and it happened very often. So they hired a man who did those things after trying to fire a man to accuse him of those things so you could get him out. If that doesn't sum up Auburn for you, I don't know what does. Auburn may do really well with Hugh Freeze. They may win a lot of games. They may win an SEC. I don't know. Like, we'll see how it goes. But there's no doubt that college football, as much as I love it, there is no floor. There is no bottom that people could go to or reach if it means winning football games. Winning is everything. Everything. You can cover up everything if you win. And honestly, some situations are worse than others. You know, I mean, it's not every situation is created equal. But the fact that Auburn is hiring this man, okay. But if it comes crashing down, if it ends up having major issues, if you start having problems where he's sliding into the DMs of some Instagram models, that's on you. The onus is on you, and you'll just have to deal with it. But hey, if he wins, I'm sure they will be just fine and trying to find ways to make it happen. Appreciate everybody listening in to the Locked On Razorbacks podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or on Google Play. You can also get after me on Twitter at BuzzJohnNeighbors for any questions, comments, concerns that you may have. We'll keep it going from there. Same podcast time, same podcast channel tomorrow afternoon. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you then.